May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. The word of the Lord.
We turn to our gospel lesson. This is the gospel out of the lectionary. Lectionary is a series of readings established to help us make sure that we travel through different scriptures and seem appropriate to the season. On this Christ the King Sunday, this is our scripture for the morning. If it is your tradition to stand for the gospel, please stand for Luke 23. When they came to that place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they're doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanging there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite you to be seated. Christ the King Sunday, Thanksgiving Sunday, it all gets a little convoluted, doesn't it? And here is a scripture that's a little bit startling, a little bit, why would we lift this scripture for Christ the King Sunday? I would rather read it. Let's just change it and read out of Revelation. The King on his throne with the glory of the saints all around and the heavenly chorus and the sea in front of him and all of the wonders of creation. Isn't that a much more pleasant picture? Isn't that a much more exciting kingly vision and idea? I thought so. Last week we read from Luke 21, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. I think we're seeing some of that in the news, aren't we? Both in foreign countries and at home. They will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. That's not exactly the passage we like to hear. We'd rather hear the one about you're blessed. And if you believe in Jesus, nothing bad will happen to you or your family and all of those other things that we want to hold on, that this is what Christianity is, and we forget about the crucifixion. Jesus was not in the majority in his time. Think about that a minute. He had his following, a gathering of people that followed him around, believed in him and supported him. The apostles, the And here on the cross, they are mostly absent. The apostles have fled because they're afraid for their lives as well. And everything that they thought, everything that they were prepared for, seems to be collapsing. But the powers that be, the structures of all things that were in the world, rejected Jesus not only because he was human, but because he was unsettling them. Those with power and authority that gained wealth and riches and places of stature, and they would lose all of that if Jesus was true and led them. Their authority would be undermined. The status quo would be unsettled. We know how that feels. How many of you love it when change comes and completely throws your life into a tizzy? I didn't see any hands go up, just for the record. They rejected him because he was human as well. Here they were expecting a king, a King David, a King Solomon, someone above it all, that with wonderful, beautiful robes and courts and concubines and all of the things that go with it. And here was a human, a simple human, and he was crucified. Something about it that we need to remember, the Christian journey is not necessarily a walk in the rose garden. We need to be aware of that there will be times of duress. There will be times that it won't be easy, and that we will be called to be faithful despite the challenges. They will arrest you and persecute you. We don't want to hear that, but it's part and parcel. I shouldn't be telling this with the new members just coming on board. They might not want to stay. I did make sure that we did it after they promised, though, so we're hurt. Have you ever heard of Jeremiah? Not the bullfrog. Major prophet by the name of Jeremiah. He was lived back in a period of time, and the people had given up on God. They were worshiping Baal. They were building temples and doing sacrifices to Baal. Child sacrifices. It was an awful thing. And God said, I withdraw my support of you, because you have broken your covenant with me. And he went to the prophet Jeremiah. He said, Tell the people, it's not going to be good for a while. It's going to be really miserable. And not only for just a little while, but it'll be this way for a generation, because you have given up on me. And so God is no longer the God to champion us. Well, Jeremiah went out to do that. He went out to tell the message, and he was not popular. Who would you rather listen to? Somebody who's telling you, oh, this will be gone in a week or two, everything's going to be fine. Or Jeremiah, who says, you're in deep trouble and it's going to last an entire generation. Yeah, he was not welcomed. He walked around in dirty, filthy clothes, and he wore an ox's yoke around his neck, a wooden yoke that he walked around the streets, so that people would understand that the yoke of God would be about them. So some of our journey may be more like Jeremiah's. It may not be our choice, but it may be what we're about, and our faithfulness still has to be faithfulness. Have you ever heard of Alanis Morissette? She was a singer in the 90s, thereabouts, whatever. She had a song called Isn't It Ironic? You might have heard that. It was popular on the news there or on the radio, and they played it. And it had a series of ironic things that she lists. It's like rain on your wedding day, she said, is ironic. It's like a free ride when you've already paid your way. That's ironic. She goes on with some other stuff. I think it was Drew Carey did a comedy routine, and he says, the funny thing is she lists up all kinds of things, and the irony is that she lists up tragedies that are not irony at all. But ironic, isn't it ironic? Is it ironic that today's scripture lesson on the King of Kings, the Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday of the year liturgically, this culmination, this celebration, is about the crucifixion? Is that ironic? And on the cross where they crucified him, on the front of your bulletin is a picture. They put a sign on the cross. This is the King of the Jews. And it's an interesting sign. And it's an ironic sign. You see, because they said, well, look, this is your king. Look at him being killed in this horribly humiliating way. Look at him powerless. And they were making fun of the possibility of that king. The reality that he is the king is also ironic to the people as we back up and think about their expectations of a king. Of a King David or a King Solomon or another great king and warrior leader that would lead them out of the Roman oppressors. That would raise them up to be a great nation again. They were expecting someone else as well, and so the irony was that was not the king either. And yet now we can look back at the King of Kings. Luke's account is intriguingly unemotional. If you read this, this is about Jesus' suffering and his death, and it's not a tear-jerking story. Different accounts have been done of it in time since then, and people have emphasized the emotional side of the story. They've brought out the depth of what was occurring. But Luke isn't there to do that, and he isn't there to milk us emotionally. He wants to say very clearly that it's not about the tears. It's about the blood of his sacrifice. Here is the Christ, the King, the dying ignobly, humiliatingly, painfully, innocently, and in so doing, by his own choice, winning the world. Think about that. That's ironic. Humbling himself to death on a cross. Salvation for all humanity. It's an amazing thought. The salvation system within the Jewish tradition. If you did something wrong, you went to the priests and they made an offering. They did some bit of special offering to help you atone for your sins. And each time you did it, you had to go back and do it over again. And each year, the chief priest would go into the Holy of Holies to make atonement for the entire nation once a year. And every year had to return and do that. And here, the innocent king gives himself. Now, there's a huge theological debate about whether or not he had the power to suddenly lift himself up from the cross and not suffer. And in fact, there was a group of theologians that began to say, oh, he was never real. He was just an image, an avatar, a facsimile of human. He didn't ever, when he walked across the sand, he left no footprints because he was spirit. And so on the cross, he didn't suffer. That's not the King of Kings. The reality is his humanness, and whether he could have withdrawn himself from the cross or not is a theology that keeps being debated. As a human, we would not be able. He took on humanity. You decide. But he willingly went to the cross for humanity. He went to the cross for those devoted followers that had followed him, that had believed in him, that had learned from him. He went to the cross for the apostles, the 12 that he had chosen, those leaders that would found the church, that he had taught, that he had instilled and said, you will carry on from here. He went to the cross for them. He went to the cross for the criminals crucified on each side of him, for the soldiers that mocked him and scourged him, for the religious leaders and the chief priests. You see, he went to the cross for the whole world. What an amazing king that would do that for us. On this Christ the King Sunday, we celebrate being Christians. We celebrate what Christianity means. We heard vows from the new members of their... And we repeated our vows as members of the church. And we gather as Christians. We gather together and it feels good to be amongst each other and to reinforce each other. And we gather at the feet of the King, of Christ Himself. Ironically, if we are being worthy of being those Christians, we must also humble ourselves as He humbled Himself. Humility. It's not something we do easily. Americans especially, we don't do humility well. Broncos fans, it's not something we do humbly. And yet as Christians, that humility means the first shall be last and the last shall be first. In Colossians, Paul said, may you be made strong with all the strength that comes from His glorious power. And may you be prepared to endure everything with patience. This is us. This is Christianity. We have great joy. We have great successes. Let us not let them go to our heads. Let us be the humble servants of our Lord and King. And let us change the world as He did. Through Him, with Him, and with His guidance. Lord, may it be so. Amen.